All right, so Matthew writes in verse 18, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him." When we look at this passage, what we're looking at here is Jesus' initial calling of his disciples to follow him in full-time ministry and in discipleship. Jesus is coming right off in chapter 3, where he's been baptized by John the Baptist, and he has been proclaimed as the one that John has prepared the way for. And Jesus shows us how to be baptized by leading us through that and doing it himself. And then in chapter 4, in the beginning of chapter 4, we see his temptation as he's been spending time in the wilderness, and Satan comes up and tempts him, and Jesus rebukes him with scripture and tells him that he is God, and that Satan cannot tempt him, and that he will not succumb to his temptation. And then we see, starting in verse 12, Jesus beginning his ministry, followed up with, right before this passage, the message that he will proclaim, which is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so Jesus here is coming in, and he's needing disciples to follow alongside with him and learn with him, so that they may one day pick up and proclaim the message that Jesus is the Messiah. And so when we first look at this passage, the first thing we see is a call to discipleship. Now, when we look at the call to discipleship, we should take note that everyone is called to be a disciple of Christ. If you are a Christian, you have been called as a disciple of Christ. Just as these men have been called out, so you have as well. And the call is simple: follow me. All right. In this time, in this day and age, when someone was to be discipled in the Jewish faith, a young man would go up to a rabbi, and he would choose the rabbi to be discipled by, and he would ask that the rabbi would disciple him. And this meant that he would spend time with him day in and day out and follow him and watch him and observe how he went about in the temple and in the ministry and what he did in study and in preparation. And that is what Jesus is calling these men to do. But it's different because in the Jewish faith, the young man would pick out the rabbi. But here we see it's completely different. Jesus has picked out these men to follow him. And he says, "Follow me." Well, that is very profound. And to be a disciple, we have to follow Jesus, right? Because when you're a disciple, the person you are being a disciple of is your master, right? And you cannot know your master, you cannot follow your master, if you are not learning about him and what he is saying and what he is teaching. And so we have to know Jesus and who he is and what he teaches, and to know him deeply. And the only way to do that is to spend time with him. And so these men were being called out to follow Jesus and walk with him in his earthly ministry over the period of the next three years. You cannot be a disciple if you do not spend time with your master. All right, so these guys knew what they had coming and what they were going to have to do and entail when they followed him, that it would be a deep time of an intimate time of fellowship with him, spending with him in ministry. I also want to take a look at who he calls. It's kind of odd, I think, where Jesus is when he calls his disciples. If you look, Jesus is in Capernaum, which we're told in the beginning in verse 12 is where he is, and that he had left Nazareth. And I just find it interesting that here he is, and he's in Capernaum, looking for disciples. Now, I don't know, because I'm not God, but if I was, if you're calling disciples, don't you think you would be in Jerusalem, in the temple, calling people who at least know the scriptures and have spent time studying them? But Jesus doesn't do that. Here he is in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee, seeking out his disciples. It's interesting because these men, that Jesus calls are just ordinary men. There's nothing special about them. They're not trained. They're not linguists. They're not scribes. They're not Pharisees. They have no training in what we would think would be someone that Jesus would call to be his disciple. These are just ordinary men with ordinary jobs providing for their families, right? These men have families. You see that James and that Peter and Andrew are brothers, and also that James and John are brothers, and that they're with Zebedee, their father, so they're brothers, they're sons, so they have a mother and a father and perhaps other siblings. They're just ordinary guys that Jesus is calling to walk with him and be his disciples. That's the first thing I want us to look at. The second thing I want us to see is the cost of discipleship. Guys, it is not easy to be a disciple of Christ. All right, now becoming a Christian is easy, but living a Christian life is not easy, and being a disciple of Christ is not easy. And these men had sacrifices, just as we have sacrifices. We see here one of the first things that he points out is that they left, in reference to Peter and Andrew, when he said, "Follow me," they left their nets and they followed him. And I love the word that he uses before that is immediately. All right. I'm not a linguist either. I mean, I take a lot of language at Southwestern. I don't really like it, but I take it. But what does immediately mean? It means right now. Let's go. Get up. Come on, move. And they immediately got up and left. I love it because when he proclaimed, "Follow me," they didn't say, "Well, Jesus, I got a lot going on. I got a family to provide for. I've got a job. I've got my stuff. I like it here. This is a nice area to live in. Let me pray about it. Let me see what God wants me to do." That'd be pretty ironic for them to tell Jesus. They didn't do that. Immediately, they got up and they left their nets. The same you see with John and James. When he put the call forward to follow me, immediately they left their boats and they left their father and they followed Jesus. There's three things that we see that they leave here behind. They leave their nets, which is their careers. These men left everything that they knew, their financial provision, their way of income, their means of life, they left. They left their boat. That's their position, possessions. I can't imagine that. A boat's not cheap today. I can't imagine that that was come by very easily then either, especially for fishermen. I mean, these men were not of wealth and stature. These were everyday workers, and they left their possessions. And then they left their father and left their families, all for the sake of following Jesus and being his disciple. There is a cost to being a disciple of Christ. All right. For me personally, when I was in high school, I surrendered to the call to full-time vocational ministry. And I didn't necessarily know what that was going to look like. Back then, I thought that I'd be in a full-time senior pastor role, preaching on a weekly basis. It just seems fit that right now God has me in a place where I'm more suited to be an associate pastor, where I can focus more on discipleship and evangelism and outreach, because that's my heart and passion. But when I responded to that call, I lived in Pennsylvania. I was 17. I'd lived there since I was 10. My grandparents were there. My sister was there. My friends were there. And where did it lead me when I responded to the call? It led me to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, I don't know if you guys know much about us Yankees, but it's beautiful in Pennsylvania. And we've got hills and mountains and actual mountains and back roads. And in Fort Worth, it's pretty flat. And there's the highway. That's pretty much the only way to get anywhere. And it's pretty boring. And I drove into Fort Worth and I was confused and thought maybe I'd gotten my call wrong. But it was a cost. I packed up and moved as a 17-year-old kid across the country away from everything I knew and everything I loved to follow the call that God had placed on my life. Now, I'm not saying that this is your call. Everybody's call looks different, and not everyone is called to full-time vocational ministry. That is a call that God has set aside for certain people. But everyone is called to be a disciple, and it will cost you something, okay? It may not cost you your job, and it may not cost you your family, but it will cost you. In Matthew 16, starting in verse 24, Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to be saved, to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in glory of his Father with the angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly, truly, I say to you, there are some of you here who are standing here today who will not taste death until the Son of Man is seen coming again in his kingdom." We have to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. That is what it costs to be a disciple. Sometimes we have to deny ourselves some worldly pleasures that we think we might want or think we may need, but are not fit for a disciple. Sometimes we have to say things and we have to speak up for truth. That will cost us things. And it may come to a point where one day you have to stand up for truth in a position like your job or something where you may be reprimanded for your beliefs. But being a disciple, we have to be worthy, or we have to be willing to count the cost of discipleship and follow Christ no matter the cost. The third thing I want us to see is the career of discipleship. Like I said, not everyone's called to full-time vocational ministry, but being a disciple is a lifelong endeavor. All right, we never are done the work that God has put before us. And what is that work? Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, this analogy fits perfectly for them because these guys are fishermen. So Jesus is just telling them, your profession is essentially the same thing, but instead of fishing for fish, you're going to fish for men and for their souls. And instead of fishing in the Sea of Galilee, you're going to be fishing in the sea of the world and proclaiming my name and reaping souls for the kingdom. I will make you fishers of men. We see another analogy that's a fishing analogy in Matthew 14. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it is filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad fish they threw away." I love that analogy. And it just suits them so perfectly because at least four we see here of Jesus' 12 disciples were fishermen. So they would get that analogy of casting the net and you're throwing it into the sea. And you're reeling it in up to onto the shore. And then when it's up there, you're separating the good from the bad. Because you're just harvesting whoever can come. And it's an analogy of the church. Because in the church, there are true believers. And then there are others who are here that may not have ever known or confessed Jesus as Savior. But that's not something that we can decide here. That's something that God and will decide at the end of the age and at the end of our lives. The calling that we have to be fishers of men is to proclaim the message of the gospel so that some may be saved. It is a proclamation, it's a command for evangelism. To be a disciple is to be someone who is evangelistic intentionally, okay? We have to share the truth of the gospel that we have been revealed to others around us so that they have the opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior as well. In Matthew 10, verse 27, Jesus is explaining what it is to be a disciple to his disciples and what it is for discipleship. And in there he says in verse 27, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." The message that Jesus was telling, he was investing in his disciples. And he was telling them and counseling them and watching them grow, because one day he knew that he would no longer be there to share his message. And sure, Jesus proclaimed the message and he taught to the multitudes and they followed him and they flocked and gathered in hundreds and thousands of people that he was able to talk to firsthand. But he invested in these 12 men and just poured into them on a daily basis. And they watched him and they learned from him. And the things that he told them, they would be responsible for when he left and when he died on the cross and ascended into heaven after his resurrection. These 12 men would be responsible for proclaiming what he had told them in secret, and they were to tell it from the rooftops. That message is not just for the disciples. That is a job for us today in the 21st century, right here in Wichita Falls, or wherever we're from. We can see that because in Matthew 28, this passage everyone knows, and I'm sure most of us can even quote it, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We all know that passage, and we all can quote it, but we see right off the bat, the first thing he says after go is make disciples. It is our responsibility to make disciples of other believers. Now, how's that look? There, we can take how Jesus did it and the model that he had, where he took 12 men and he poured into them, and he taught them his ways, and they spent time with him in ministry, and he saw that. But it's not just for ministers to disciple. It's for you. It's for the lay people of the church. If you are a Christian, like I said, you should be a disciple. And if you're growing and you are learning about Jesus and about the Word and you're growing in truth and love for Him, then you should be able to pour into others as well. And it's a process. You know, Jesus came and he came and he spent years with these guys. 3 years he spent with them discipling them. And then they left after he died and was resurrected and ascended into heaven. They went out and they went to different areas and then they discipled people. And then they discipled people. And then they discipled people. And it's a process, and that's what happens. And that's how it grew. And that's how Christianity spread. And that's how it spreads today. If you lead someone to the Lord and just get them in the church, they can slip in and slip out so easily and never learn what it is to be a Christian. You have to take that opportunity to do discipleship, whether it's one-on-one or in a group of people, and teach them what it is to be a Christian, and so that they can go forth and that they can tell people and that they can make disciples, so that they can make disciples, so that they can make disciples, so that we can reach the world for Christ. So those are the three things I wanted us to look at today from this passage. Is the call of discipleship, it's meant for all of us. The cost of discipleship, there is a cost, but we have to press on no matter what the cost is. And then the career of discipleship. And like I said, it may not be a full-time vocational ministry, but you are called to be a disciple for your entire life until the Lord sees fit to take you home. So how does this apply to us today? You know, Pastor Tim has put forth a vision for you guys to pray, to prepare, to train, so that you can go forth and reach the world for Christ. And that is exactly what discipleship is. Exactly. I don't know if you guys knew that, but that's what it is. All right? We pray so that we can know the Master. Okay? That was the first thing we talked about, was being called to discipleship. And to be a disciple, you have to know the Master. If you don't spend time with your Master, how do you know Him? Okay, we have a bunch of married people in here. Everybody married? Not everybody, obviously. But if you don't spend time with your spouse, would you know your spouse? But yet, we're called Christians, which is a follower of Christ, but we don't spend time with Christ. There's a disconnect there. If we're supposed to be Christians and we're supposed to be disciples, we're supposed to spend time with God. And how do we do that? But through prayer and through His Word. So we have to pray. We have to prepare, which is studying. The only way to prepare is to study God's Word and see what He has to say to us. What we know about God is what He has revealed to us through His Word. And this is His direct revelation to us. We need to study it. This will tell us how to live our lives and how to reach the world for the gospel. And then we need to train, as Tim says, and that's preparing and discipling and getting ready. But there's one other part that we need to do, and that's proclaim. And that's what we're going for. That's what we're getting to. We are praying, we are preparing, and we are training so we can proclaim. Listen, the world around us is going to hell, and they don't even know it. They're going about their lives. They're doing what they want because to them, truth is truth. Truth is relative. It's whatever they want it to be. But we know, because we have God's direct revelation, we know what truth is. We have absolute truth. And absolute truth is that all have fallen short of the glory of God and all are going to perish, and that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and was raised 3 days again, or 3 days later, and then was ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Lord. That is the message that we are to proclaim, and as disciples, we should be proclaiming that. Now, you may be sitting here, and you may not understand a thing I'm saying. And maybe it's because you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm here to tell you that becoming a Christian is as easy as ABC. A, we have to admit that we're sinners. And we're told that in Romans. It said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you don't think you're a sinner, you are. So we have to admit that we're sinners and that we have fallen short of God's standard of perfection. B, we have to believe. We believe that God and that Christ is who He says He is, and that He is the Son of God, and that He came and He lived His perfect life, and He died on the cross, and was buried and raised again. And then we have to confess, that's C. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that He is who He said He was. And if we confess that with our tongues, so if we admit and if we believe and we confess, we will be saved. And as soon as you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that begins your journey in discipleship. You don't figure it out and then become a disciple when you're older. You start at square one right away. And so that's what we're going to do here. We're going to spend time and we're going to teach and we're going to pray and we're going to train in discipleship so that we can get out and we can reach the world. And guys, I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I am excited about what God has in store for this church. And I hope and pray that God sees fit to allow me to come here and serve alongside of Tim and your staff and the elders as we move forward with the vision that He's cast for us. And I look forward to looking at this congregation one day and standing here before you, and every seat is packed because you guys have been faithful disciples and faithful disciple makers.